2016.
Thank you. So Patty, what we usually do is we start each session by looking at the minutes of the last session.
Okay.
And this is what we passed out. It looks good to me.
It looks good to me as well.
Yeah.
All right, good.
You just have to remember that next time we're meeting at 9:30 in the morning. So that's a big change.
Holy moly. Glad you mentioned that.
I agree with Sherry.
Oh, no.
I'm open to a suggestion of starting at 10.
I wonder if I have that on my calendar.
I don't know if you do.
I don't know. I think we just...
We've been so used to meeting in the afternoons.
It's nice to meet in the afternoons.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get a little bit rushed if it's in the morning.
No.
What? These were all cleared with Rachel. Sorry. Sorry.
Let the microphone reflect a double take.
Can you even make it pin Rachel again with all the dates?
Okay. But I'll be here.
And we have, we're still talking, turn on the computer back.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for coming this time.
They have some material for us, so happy to be there.
Well, I don't know, okay, I don't know. You know, at the last bargaining session, we had provided Article 23, and John, you responded by talking through where you thought you might go on 23. But, you know, like, you were just sort of musing about. You thought most of it looked acceptable, but there were some things that you wanted to see in the article that was not in the version that we gave you. I don't know if you have that for us, if you do.
Yeah, we don't quite have it ready yet.
Okay.
But we have a couple of questions.
Good, okay, that'd be great.
That I think will help us, because we'd like to tie this up, and rather than rush something that our members haven't had a chance to discuss and agree to. Being named indirectly for John the Baptist, I'm a little bit wary of having my head handed to someone on a plate.
A platter.
Yeah.
John the Baptist, really?
So, want to make sure I ask these questions, and I think we can hopefully come to some conclusion on this one pretty quickly. So a few of these are sort of more minor technical points. The first one's on page 2. It's line 53.
Do you need me to go and get some copies of it?
Oh.
Oh, she has a copy, but we didn't bring a copy.
Is this, I have proposal 3, I think it's proposal 4, right?
What do we need? Four? Four copies of the UFF proposal?
If you don't want it.
Oh.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Six.
Great, thank you, appreciate it.
Well, she has hers and he has one.
Yeah, but she doesn't know she has the right.
Oh, you don't have?
I don't.
Oh, no, that's proposal.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. You can probably talk, though.
Oh, okay. So we were curious about what is meant by has had no break in service? Because that's new language that we haven't used before.
Oh, this is our proposal.
Right, your proposal, yeah.
Right? Did she take her phone with her? Because she's going to print off your proposal. Sorry.
Okay.
Hold on just a second. No, that's not, I don't need to call her desk, that's not going to work. Oh, darn it, sorry. Let me see if she took her phone, but if not, let me...
Okay.
Just and then not, because I don't want to print useless copies.
So these were...
Well, literally, is...
Is what they changed.
Is the sanction break in service?
legal, so it's just kind of the flip side.
Right.
Trying to figure out.
If someone disappears, you know, it's going to be like, it's bad. Or professional description, professional, or family, or any of that.
So you would like to know, John, what constitutes a break in service?
Right, so why would that language be preferable to the usual language we have about being continuous service?
And I want to say that it had to do with people that are changing jobs in the middle or who leave the university and come back. Because if you renegotiate your salary, the raise isn't supposed to impact people who are hired after May 7th.
Okay, so what sort of folks would that be? That's what I'm trying to
figure out. I mean, there's always a for instance, right? But
What
it's not a great deal of people, first off. Let me say that. It wouldn't capture a lot of people. But if I were a USPS person who's been working on my degree and I graduate and I get hired into a new position, I start on August 8th. Well, I have a break in service between perhaps the old position and the new one. And I've become in unit of all those things because the language there doesn't exclude people that are not in unit and then become in unit, I think. I believe that that's what was intended to be captured.
Well, okay. Let me see it again. No, I'll tell you this. I don't know, Sherry, if you would agree with me or not. I think from a legal standpoint, it might be clearer language because continuously employed, you know, some people might not work a summer.
Yeah, that's a short work break, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think a break in service is a term of art, right?
Yes.
It means you're off the FRS retirement roll.
Mm-hmm. Usually for more than 30 days.
Yeah. Like a break in service means.
But we use the term for sabbaticals and PDLs too.
You're no longer in the status of retirement eligible. You know, that's where break in service is typically used in my world.
Well, right, but I'm saying if you're in a position here and you leave it and you get hired an entirely new, different position in unit, you've had, generally, there's a break. Sometimes people flow seamlessly in, and I don't know how to capture those people, but anyway, that is a term of art.
Well, okay, let's ask, who are we trying to exclude?
People that have negotiated a new salary for themselves at the onset of August 8th. So there's a cutoff date of May 7th, and it's intended to to capture everybody who's in the bargaining unit at present. But new people coming on, in theory, they're sort of they're negotiating salaries for themselves, and you generally don't include August 8 hires in your October raise pool. First of all, they don't have evaluations. And you see what I'm saying? Like there's all sorts of problems with that. So we had...
I think I understand. So what you're saying is like I'm a librarian.
12-month.
And after May 7th, I take a position teaching somewhere, and I become an assistant professor.
Starting like August 8th, there's a break of 3 or 4 months.
So I'm going to go into a new position with a new salary. In August, and that's the people you want to capture.
Okay. Again, it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Because in the up above it on line 47, you know, the employee has to be employed with the university prior to May 7th.
Well, there's people that would be. If you're his librarian who's employed by the university, and you leave the university June 1st, and you come back in a different position on August 8th, and you've had a break in service, you've negotiated a new salary. What should we do? Okay.
So it really only applies if someone has changed positions.
Well, sometimes you're going to have people who change position flawlessly. They work until August 7th in one position, completely different, and then they're hired as of August 8th into the new position. That's not going to capture them, unfortunately. But
this is a very small group of people. Yes,
yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
So is it, and I don't know if I don't want to overstep, I mean, is that that important to put the language in? If it's that small of a group of people, and it's kind of the real rare exception, and we are talking about people that are probably staying within the university.
Well, I guess what happens is when we go to implement these things, mm-hmm. you get strange people popping out all over the place
sure.
with so many employees. You're going to have people moving all the time. It's a moving target. So when you set a May 7th date, mm-hmm. you want to capture that group of people without more people popping up in the unit in between. And that's what I'm trying to explain with that break in service. I'm looking for people that are sort of coming out of nowhere. You don't want people to be appearing. And people do leave the university and come back in that time. And then they're always asking me, what do we do with these people now? The university tries to do the most logical thing for everyone. But when we put that in writing, it helps the people that have to actually implement this. It gives them direction about what to do. And so every time we do a raise, there's always something we hadn't thought of. And so this time when we provided the language, we tried to address all the problems that we've had in the past. And this is one of the problems we've had in the past.
And that's actually one of the things that we keep trying to do is refine the language to
right.
avoid problems as much as we can.
But
like Charlie said, you know, there's always something that crops up that we hadn't thought about.
The way it's written is very broad. And is there a way to write it, I guess, a little bit more specific? Because it seems to be, people don't teach over the summer.
No, it doesn't include that. They're on short work break the entire time. So that wouldn't include those people.
A lot of these things are, as Mike said, terms of art that apply to that we know, either apply in a legal sense or in a contract sense, and the people who are implementing them understand those terms of art.
Of course not, because that would include most of your bargaining unit, and it's obvious that we're not trying to target that group. We're trying to get the raise to everyone, except for the people that are like slipping in through the cracks, and that's the people that would appear on the payroll after a change. I don't know how to, I have to go back and check with the people who had to implement this last time, but I'm telling you that this happened to people, and they didn't know what to do with them, and we're talking maybe fewer than 5 people, but they're trying to explain to those people why they're not getting the increase, and it's because they had a chance to renegotiate when they entered this new position, and there was a break in service.
So if I'm a librarian, and on May 15th, I resign,
mm-hmm.
and I'm no longer employed by the university, and I apply for a position to begin in August, and I'm hired into it,
mm-hmm.
I would have had a break in service.
Yes, you would have. And you would have had a chance to negotiate your salary, even if it's back in the library again.
Okay.
We use the term break in service, I believe, for sabbaticals and PDLs too. So you award sabbaticals to people that have been on all kinds of leave, military leave, parental leave, all sorts of things. But if you've had a break in service where you've left the university and come back, your sabbatical clock starts over again. Does that make sense, John? And that doesn't count ever. It doesn't ever count summers. We would never do that. No one would be able to go on sabbatical.
But might it also include someone who, say, is an instructor in biology?
Okay,
so they've got
a 9-month?
Yeah, 9-month instructor, and they finished their term of serving as an instructor in biology. Now they get hired and say, no, I'm doing it. Oh, it's not working. Let's say they're an instructor in black micro.
Okay.
So they're out of unit to start with, but they're employed by the university. That's why I had to switch.
Yes, that's good.
Okay, so they've completed their contract. Now they get hired by biology. So now they can come in unit.
Mm-hmm.
So that would constitute then a break in service.
Did they have a break in service? Did they go?
Because they start out of unit. Well, let's say that.
Well, no. The break in service, I think what you're missing with the break in service doesn't mean it's a time. It's sort of like more than, well, for sabbaticals, I use more than 1 week. If you've resigned from a job and you start up a new job and there's a week, that constitutes a break in service because you're in a new position starting 7 days later or more. If it's 1 or 2 days, I generally don't make a big fuss about it. But after a week, we start doing, after 30 days, you've gotten your retirement paid out, your sick leave, and all those things are all paid out. That's definitely a break in service.
Okay, Okay, so it's.
So it's really having to do with people that have left their positions and are coming back. If this person leaves micro and starts the next day, we're not even going to see it as a, it's not going to register as a break in service. Does that make sense? I wouldn't get a question, I don't think, from the people who have to implement this. The people who have to implement this are the ones, when they say, what do you mean Joe gets a raise? He just got hired here August 8th, and he he could have been working here on May 7th. And like, again, it's a small window of people that would leave during those 2 months, but I'm trying to capture that group of people so that that question, at least both sides knows what's going to happen with that person. That's the intent of putting the languages, so that everybody understands what happens with those people that have that gap.
We'll think about that. We'll look at it. We just wanted to make sure that we understood what the intent was and why that shift was being made. All right. So the other question. It's actually a little below that. So it's on line 58, but it's an easy one to summarize. It's about the ratio for above satisfactory to outstanding, the 1 point, well, outstanding to above satisfactory, the 1.7 to 1. Is there a rationale of that? Because it's just because it's hard for folks to
Like that forever.
Yeah.
I can't remember a contract that didn't have that ratio in it.
Yeah, that's what I was just curious about. It's just something that's been perpetuating, just because it's an unusual combination. Like if you did 1.5 to 1, that's 3 to 2. You got this whole number.
It precedes me, so I don't know what the rationale was behind it. You might ask Jim.
I honestly can't remember when that wasn't the ratio.
No, it's Purple Book, and maybe even before that. I don't even know. I'd have to look at a Blue Book, but it's definitely not something new.
Yes,
it's a distribution that appears to be effective. How's that?
Except it confuses the heck out of everybody.
Do you think changing the numbers would make it less confusing?
Yeah, because it's whole numbers. 3 to 2 is easy to do. 1.5 to 1.
Oh, well. I still think you'll get an equal amount of confusion.
Well, mostly we were just wondering.
Right.
If there's a magic, was there a rationale?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I might be able to go back and pull notes from a bargaining session.
If it didn't come from the Blue Book, I don't know. I always thought it was a gym thing.
What line is that in? 58. Yeah. Mm.
Can you go to my office and get a Blue Book? And we'll look and see if it's in there.
It's not like some sort of golden ratio, is it? It's
no,
not a Fibonacci kind of thing.
No, I was going to say, it's like the logarithm of 3 or something.
I don't know.
So there's a lot of language in here that came from the initial contracts that were statewide. And so sometimes no one can remember why they're in there, and sometimes you have no idea what it means, and it's like unexploded ordinance, and you just don't touch it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Back away.
You know, the grievance process, by and large, is in all of these books, comes from the Blue Book, which was the contract. When it was a 1. You know,
yeah, 2001 to 2003.
Mm-hmm. And we went through the grievance article yesterday at UWF line by line, which we shouldn't have done. And they were like,
it's painful.
What does that mean? You know, some of the things, we kind of decided after a while that because the arbitration back then was done in Tallahassee,
that's right,
a lot of the language contemplates that.
Mm-hmm.
Like who gets copies and how. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the only way we could figure it out. It's like, oh, that's because we weren't doing this.
they kludged it together to make it work after we moved things back to the local.
Okay, so next question is about the incentive awards. So it seemed to us that there's a shift here in emphasis, maybe, or maybe not. But it seems that one of the major changes is that in your proposal, now the recycles are not being made at all. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so now we've got just a set number of awards. They don't recycle. And so I guess there are two questions there. One is, what happens to awards that are available, but that either the faculty committee determines shouldn't be awarded, or some higher level, whoever has the administrative authority? Do those recycle, or do they just
disappear?
They don't
recycle. They, do we not include that language in this proposal? We bargained before that they would roll over.
Okay, so we're still thinking that those would roll over. Okay, so.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
We never used the term. We tried to get away from the term recycle on that because it did get confused with what we typically meant by recycle. Than people apply, or in some cases with tips or bids, you've had either the committee or the dean or somebody at an even higher level saying, some of these people, we're giving out awards just for the sake of giving out awards because we don't want them to go begging, essentially. We don't want to just lose them. But these candidates really aren't. Don't deserve them. You could even the faculty committees have said that, but we don't want to lose them. Yeah. So we now have the ability to say, okay, if you've got that situation, we'll allow those to roll over for another year, and then you'll have.
You don't have to use them or lose them.
You don't have to use them or lose them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Specific award committees. I've never seen that be the case. It's always hard trying to figure out who can, making hard decisions.
I think it happens sometimes more with RIAs.
Yeah, the one time it happened when I was on the committee was a 10-year.
Wow, that's interesting.
Okay, so the next question is, do you have any idea how many awards currently in the faculty pool? So if we said, okay, how many awards have already been attached to faculty? Do you have any idea what that number would be?
Well, it would probably be the number of the old, it would be the number of last year's maximum.
I mean
40 plus 40 plus 40 plus 40 for as number as many years as we have memory.
So, like, 1,100 isn't out of the question.
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to ask Cynthia how it.
Okay, can we get those numbers?
I can try.
So, you want to know how many wards are currently alive?
Right. And if we could have that broken, and if we could have that also.
Yeah, the
best way to have it is if we can get it with the employee's name and their department and their date of last hire.
No, oh my gosh. I don't think that's possible.
No?
I just don't think so because.
How do you figure out how many recycle? You have to know.
Well, Diane Chase has left. Is that her award anymore? It's in the pool. She and Arlen have 8 awards floating out there somewhere. So is that still attached to her name anymore now that she's left?
Well, you have to know that when Diane leaves, how many awards are attached to Diane. So that's all we're asking for.
You said employee name, but she's not here anymore. So that award's now in the pool. I don't think we track it like that, but I'll find out.
Well, let's see if we can make this easy. I think I know what you're after, John, but wouldn't it be easier for us, maybe it's hard for us, so if that's the case, Charlie, you can tell me to be quiet. Wouldn't it be better to ask how many awards have recycled over a period of time?
That's retrospective. It's about prospective. So how many awards?
But wouldn't that be an indicator?
How many awards currently exist that are attached to faculty?
Yeah. And then,
if we know the faculty member, we know when they were hired, then we can figure out roughly how many to expect to recycle over time. That's a pretty easy exercise to do.
Well,
I understand.
The thing is that you don't know how long someone's going to be here. So, yes.
Yeah, but we have a decent estimate.
Yeah, but I think you'd have to go every year, find who got the award, see if they're still there. I mean, it would seem to me it would be that's going to take a lot of time.
I don't know how the records are kept. That's the problem. I know how my records are kept. I don't know how theirs are. So I will have to ask if that's possible.
I know payroll. When you go in and you look at your payroll history, when you've either received a promotion or a tip or so, you see it reflected in your MyUCF personal information. So the data is there. I mean, so I can go and see how many tips I've won, if I have you.
Yeah, except for the years that they didn't code them as awards. Yeah, except for that. There were times when they didn't always, in HR, they didn't code in the awards, they just encoded in the increase, and they didn't attach it to a SOTL, a TIP, or a VIA.
No, but I mean, you can tell by,
okay, so, but you see what I'm saying? If we're going to run a report, it has to be attached to SOTL, TIP, or VIA. Mm-hmm. And there was a time, and it's been a long time since I've touched this, but there was a time when HR would simply go, okay, this person has a $5,000 increase, boom, done. It just says merit increase.
Right.
Yeah, that's
what
I think mine says.
So I can't run a report that just says merit increase, because that would be really strange. I mean, and it doesn't, that doesn't figure, but it's possible that the people, especially for tips, since they're tracking all those things using knowledge management, does I think most of the heavy lifting there, maybe they have a way to get your information. So I'm going to try.
Is it an average number of recycles every year?
But the problem is...
No, that's not what he's looking for.
Yeah,
he's trying to be more specific.
Yeah.
He's trying to get an aggregate number.
Well, he's trying to...
I'm trying to figure out in the future how many recycles
we track them at
to come
college
back
level.
Year.
You might.
Yeah, and I know, that's my point, is that I know that our college tracks...
Cynthia
can
give a history.
Go to the budget sheets, it has who gets a tip for each department.
Oh, the picture just came
out. Who gets a SOTL, all of that. But that's our college.
Yeah, it must be held somewhere, because that's how you know how many recycles.
No, we track it internally. Like, when we find out who's getting them, we know that by this part of the academic year, we want to ask who gets tips, you know, and we know from our committees, too.
The question may be,
but that's because we're so organized.
Mm. And the question is where the information is held. Mm-hmm. Is it at the college level? Or is it
supposed to be Cynthia, Chuck, and Sherry, not to everybody.
Okay.
Because I have a rough idea of how many awards I expect to see, but it would help us in crafting our proposal if we had more exact knowledge of that.
Asking for that information, John, because you think there may be something of a wave that would create an abnormally high number of recycles.
Well, that, yeah, the expectation, yeah, would be that because the hiring cycle tends to be driven by economics.
Mm-hmm.
You will have these waves of people who became eligible and got awards, and then when they retire, then you get a whole flush into the system. And then when you're in those lag years, that the reverse happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends on, you know, eligibility too. So one of our concerns is that, we'll express this like in the sabbatical, is when the faculty that recently retired become eligible. Okay, that's going to be one of those big waves. And so, you know, we don't want to get people being hired. Folks that we recently hired, you know, 5 years from their hire date, they become eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And if they become disgruntled, there's, you know, the success rate at Tips and Rias is very low, and that loses people. And so then, you know, it's not helping us with retention.
I think Cynthia had some numbers of how many recycles there have been in the past X number of years. So I will ask for that data along with seeing how they store the information.
Yeah, the past numbers I already have.
Who? What?
You gave me the
oh,
past
I did?
Numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, I have those. It's the more what's held in the pool currently.
Okay.
Okay, so the next question is with line 117 on page 3.
Page 3?
Yeah, page 3. About only the relevant portion of the annual evaluation. Before we had only the relevant portion, and now that's been struck out, it's the whole annual evaluation. I was wondering if you could explain the rationale for that one.
Because when they go online, they won't be able to pull that data that way.
Okay. So it's more a problem.
Yeah.
So you can't restrict the data.
Yeah. And they are actually spending on online this year. Or this year. So I'm glad I got it this year. Before that happens. So.
Oh, maybe you'll find that the electronic system is great.
Yeah, sure.
Which one did you apply for?
Yeah.
And you already had the results from that?
Or? Last year.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's a real honor.
Yeah, this is kind of a double-edged sword because on the one hand, there are a lot of, we hear a lot of concerns expressed, especially by instructors, that when they're being evaluated for tips, if the whole entire thing is there, then there's sort of a tendency for the committee to lean towards the research faculty because they're teaching, they have these other things to show that aren't part of the job description for instructors. I mean, that's just the way it works. But then the flip side to that is that if you require only that section, then in the past we've had that bleed over and someone's had the first line, then they're getting disqualified.
Right.
We don't
yeah.
have the disqualification
yeah.
thing. You still might have a committee saying, you know, that person's trying to game the system. So that's why the question about, because this is one where almost no matter what we do, we're gonna lose. Some small
well
fraction.
Said, John.
I know. It's a lose-lose proposition for the people at the table here.
Wait a minute, technology, can you come up with a copier and a piece of paper to walk out something?
Well, we can talk about that in August.
Is there anything else that?
I'm pretty sure that was the last. That was the last
one. Okay. Well, why don't we take a
look at
this?
Okay.
Do you have anything?
You know, we were thinking that with regard to the comment on page 3 of 7, line 117 and 118, that maybe we could address that by saying, adding language that would say that the consideration would be limited to the relevant portion of the evaluation, so that the TIP committee could only look to the teaching section, and the RIA committee would look at the research section. And I know, you know, when you put the whole document in front of them, it may bleed into one or the other, but you know, I was thinking that actually in courtrooms with juries, that kind of happens a lot, where a judge will say, you're getting this whole document, but you're only looking at chapter 3. So, you know, even if you look at chapter 1 and 2, you're not supposed to take that into consideration. And it actually tends to work, you know. Jurors go back and go, all right, well, don't look at 1 and 2, because 3 is the only thing that's admitted.
And the tough part is that with most of our ASPs, it's 3 little boxes, and so it's all on the same page.
Yeah.
And,
but at least if there was a, I don't know how this works, but if there was a discussion, somebody did reference something off that section, someone could say to them, you know, we're not supposed to be.
Yeah, it just seems easy enough if the applicant is uploading it, you know, as a scanned document or a TIP.
I think it was supposed to pull from central database or something like that.
Why don't have the person just upload it? And then they can make sure that.
I don't know. That I'm just saying Cynthia, in her vision, it was pulled. So I don't know. But it could be. I will ask, absolutely.
I just think that's been a source of displeasure over the years. So we can avoid it.
Maybe the entire, there's just a wave of them got thrown out because they're. You get people that take such a liberal interpretation of it. You know, there's a smudge from one intersection. That was a horrible experience because, you know, so, you know, there's, I think John's right. There's, it's not a win-win or a lose-lose. It's just one of those situations.
We commiserate.
Unfortunately, people are just not perfect.
And
I wish they were.
And it's a lot of money for people that are trying to be competitive.
But if folks upload the, you know, just their portion, I think that would solve the problem as best we can.
That's one of the reasons why we're trying to do this electronic thing, so that, you know, when you get to like those word counts, the computer will automatically, you know, you don't have to worry about it.
Automatically measures the width of the binder. Kidding.
The
electronic
binder. I shove one more thing in.
Now, I think we had a conversation about the language added to line 53 on page 27, but I'm not sure, does that adequately address your concerns, or are you looking for different language there?
Well, we need to think about who that might affect in our unit and what the different scenarios are, and then compare the prior language to this one. Because as you mentioned, that almost no matter what we do, there's some unusual cases, and no matter how hard both sides try to get perfect language, there's always a few oddballs.
Yeah, again, we're just trying to address the question so we both have a shared understanding of what will happen to those people.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that, you know, we fulfill our obligation to think this through carefully and make sure we're representing all our members. We understand what your intent is, so that you've cleared that up for us. That was good.
I guess the only other question, is there any suggestion on how it could be written tighter, like you had suggested how to write?
Well, let me go back and see what the true examples were of the people that were my questions, and because I have to go back. It's been a year.
Okay. Was there anything else?
No, we were really, you know, I mean, I have a meeting set tomorrow where they try to talk through the phase retirement
Okay.
stuff. But
you know, that just...
Tell them not to laugh too much.
But they're nice people. But it just, you know, as you said, less than a week worth of time, you know, basically
sure.
two working days, three working days since yeah. we met last time. So we hope to have more stuff coming back. Next weekend, you're going to have your
yeah,
another version 23,
well,
so
right.
maybe we can get...
Maybe
we can get this one put to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on your fourth version. We're on our sixth or seventh coming up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
yeah.
at some point we've got to start saying, okay, where are the differences? And
yeah.
who's
yeah.
going to flip a coin? You know?
Yeah.
Okay,
so I don't think anybody's too sad about getting out a little early today.
Except for my son's grandmother.
Oh.
she's babysitting.
You don't have to go home right
well,
away.
Don't
yeah.
around.
I'm still at work.
That's true. I can go get the oil change my truck cover off, right?
Yeah.
Not recording.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But that would, yeah.
I think we're done with the show. Yeah, thank you.